Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I was watching on Odyssey, actually, a video by Adam Kokesh, and he was talking about basically cannabis taxation, the taxes you pay on cannabis. And he used a term that's really sticking with me the last few days since I've watched that video. He used the term blood cannabis, as in cannabis that's been purchased with the U.S. dollar, which we know the issues with the U.S. dollar, and the issue with the taxes on top of marijuana going to things that could be law enforcement, for example, that kills people, kind of things like that.
Yeah, I know some states that have like cannabis taxation claim that the money goes to programs like, you know, to help people get off drugs, supposedly. I don't know if that's true in all states, and which states have that, I don't know either. But yeah, there's certainly a chance law enforcement could get their ugly hands on that.
I mean, to me, it doesn't make a big difference which governmental agency the money is going to, because it just frees up money for a different governmental organization for a different money to go to the police state or whatever. So
yeah, they're not going to lower the budget because of cannabis taxation. They're going to add it to.
Yeah. So any amount of money that goes to the state, even if it's just, you know, raising money for lotteries or whatever, it's ultimately blood money.
It's fungible. Yeah, that's true. When it comes to the dark web, they tend to not focus on busting the users anyway. As far as the federal government is concerned, they go after the bigger fish. They want to go after the people running the darknet websites and the bigger vendors on the darknet sites. So if you're just somebody who's bought a little bit of weed on the darknet, I mean, the odds that you're going to encounter any kind of difficulty beyond a lost shipment is probably next to zero.
Well, going back to his idea, well, his interest in Adam Kokesh using the term blood weed for weed that's taxed, that is exactly why people who are for the legalization or the decriminalization of entheogens don't want to make the same mistake that was made with cannabis. They don't think that anybody should have to ask the government permission to use something that's part of nature. I mean, cannabis is included, but in a lot of states, it's just already too late.
Well, you don't just mean permission to use. You mean permission to sell, permission to grow. You shouldn't have to ask anybody for that.
Yeah, it should totally be descheduled, because it doesn't make sense that the government has any sort of right to tell you that you can't possess something that's part of nature.
As of today, and I believe this is the outgoing mayor, so Bill de Blasio, this guy isn't just resting on his laurels and kicking back in the last few weeks of his mayorship, because they just elected a new guy, the guy that claims he's going to turn New York City into some sort of Bitcoin mecca, even though...
That seems counter to everything New York City stands for.
Yeah, well, I mean, apparently he's into Bitcoin, which, you know, good for him.
He wants to make his own crypto, right? A New York City coin.
Well, I don't know if he wants to make his own. There already is the NYC coin that some independent group started just a few weeks ago. And according to the group that started NYC coin, the new incoming mayor has given it his blessing or whatever. So they already have that. I don't see why they would start another one if they're going to use this one. Maybe they are. Maybe they aren't. That all is, you know.
The Intercoin guy has talked about wanting to create a New York City coin, too, so maybe he can tell him about that one.
Maybe, but I mean...
I don't understand why anyone wants to do anything with New York City except get the hell away from it.
Yeah. Well, if you really love cities, then New York City is the big one in the United States. But yeah, if you love liberty, then you don't belong in New York City, especially... I mean,
you can have the city lifestyle without being in New York City. Like, the most overpopulated, miserable place on the planet.
I'm sure there's more miserable places than New York City. Now, New York City has a vaccine mandate. I don't believe the rest of the state does at this point. But earlier, a few months ago, the vaccine mandate went into place. I think it was like September that they started to enforce this thing, where people who wanted to go out to eat or go to the gym or something like that, go to a Broadway show, had to show proof of vaccination in order to get in, which also means they have to show ID, because you can't just show proof of vaccination because it doesn't have your photo on it. So they have to also, you know, show the ID at the same time. So in order to go out
and
do anything. Yeah. And like that should have been enough right there for freedom lovers to say, all right, we're done. We're getting out of here.
You would think.
But nope, they still stay in New York City. And in fact, some of them are still going to stay in New York City after this news just hit. Mayor Bill de Blasio has announced today yet another expansion of their vaccine mandate, because this is how things work. They see how far they can push it. Oh, they will get our vaccine cards. They will show the vaccine cards at all these different businesses. All right, what can we tell them to do now? Well, according to the story, starting December 27th, that's 2 days after Christmas, New York's vaccine mandate will expand to all private sector workers, a move Bill de Blasio, the mayor, called the first of its kind in the nation as he announced the looming changes
Monday. That's nothing to brag about, dude.
To me, I don't want to be in a place with surrounded by obedient people.
Because how are you going to make it in the fashion world anywhere other than New York City?
If you're going to leave New York City, though, you need to do it soon. Don't do like the people of Australia or New South Wales. They'd be like, oh, we can leave later. We have a 5-year plan for moving to a place that's freer.
And then they close the borders.
Yeah, and then you're kind of stuck there and you literally cannot leave.
So here's what happened. The latest update from NBCNewYork.com. All private sector workers in New York City are now subject to the mayor's vaccine mandate starting December 27th, affecting 184,000 businesses and however many employees that means. So every single person who works for somebody else. Now, I don't know if this is going to apply to a business owner. Let's say you're just a single person. You have no employees and, you know, you go around and... You know, you're a plumber or something like that. You do some sort of service and it's your business.
I think because of the legal fiction of small businesses, you would be considered an employee of the company that you own, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I'm not sure how all that works. But either way, it's getting really bad, really fast in New York City. So while vaccine proof for indoor dining, fitness, and entertainment will be required as well now for children ages 5 to 11, according to the mandate announced by Bill de Blasio, the mayor.
So if you want to go into like McDonald's or something with your family of 5, you have to show them everyone's vaccination cards.
That's correct.
That's absurd.
So apparently the requirement to have 2 doses does exclude people who are vaccinated with Johnson & Johnson's single dose shot. Kids age 5 to 11 only need to show proof of 1 dose when the requirement for them kicks in on December 14th, considering they only first became eligible for their initial doses in early November and must wait at least 21 days between doses. But don't worry, coming, you know, this winter, kids in New York City will have to have 2 doses as well.
And so it is just, they just can't require 2 shots of them because kids haven't had enough time to get it twice.
Correct. That's correct. So it's coming.
God, New York City's awful.
The one in Keene that is being proposed right now.
The mask mandate?
Yeah, Keene, New Hampshire, where we live. Supposedly, it's only going to affect people 10 years old and older. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, why don't I just start telling people at Walmart I'm 10? What are they going to do? Tell me to show my ID?
Well,
I don't have an ID. I'm 10.
You don't have to tell them that, Bonnie, because you're medically exempt.
Well, that's true.
And Walmart's not going to ask you about that.
Why 10?
They start getting crazy.
Why not 18 or 16 or 24 or 23 years and 16 days?
Supposedly you can catch it and spread it if you're 9.
You can catch it and spread it if you've got if you're vaccinated. Quote, we've got Omicron as a new factor. We've got the colder weather, which is really going to create additional challenges with the Delta variant.
Why? Why do people get sicker in cold weather?
I don't know.
Because they stay inside.
I don't know that they do. You know, I've always heard that, but it doesn't make any sense from a logical perspective. It's not like having colder temperatures makes your immune system weaker.
No, but staying away from other people because you don't feel like going out into the cold might.
The legal counsel for the mayor of New York City, Georgia Pestana, affirmed the legal authority of the city's health commissioner to implement such sweeping rules and said city and state courts have continuously upheld that concept amid a number of challenges these last few months. She said that the issue the Biden administration faces, quote, doesn't really apply here, unquote, because the injunctions were issued over the legal authority of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration to manage mandate implementation in one case and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services in another. She says, quote, here I don't believe there's any question that Dr. Dave Chosky has the authority to issue this mandate, and it's the across-the-board nature of it that I think also makes it defensible. So she's basically saying that because this is going to apply to every employer, there's no doubt that it's, you know, it's not discriminating, right? Like, we're not discriminating against one employer or another. We're not saying one employer is exempt and another is not.
I don't think that was the basis of the challenge to the Biden administration's order, was it?
I certainly hope it wasn't.
Because it couldn't have been. It's just that OSHA doesn't have the authority to do that.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
You're not going to change New York City for the better. I don't care if your lawsuit against this vaccine mandate succeeds. It's just going to be one little bump in the road for the statists there. And they're going to come back with something else.
Yeah, you're not making progress in New York City.
No.
You may slow the tyranny slightly, but here in New Hampshire, we're actually dialing back the tyranny and the powers of the state.
Yeah, and we can do more if we have hundreds and then thousands more people coming in here. And so that's the most important thing, is to concentrate liberty people, liberty activists, in one geographic area. I'm not going to go on with this story about New York City because it does go on giving numbers of, you know, what percentages of people are vaccinated and so on and so forth. It's like, look, they're now going to be mandating vaccines for everybody who's an employee within the state, or sorry, not the state, not yet the state, within the city of New York. And children ages 5 to 11 are also now going to be included in that. So you decide, you know, what sort of world do you want to live in? Because you get to choose still to some extent today. You still get to choose. As long as you are free to leave the place that you're in, you can come to New Hampshire if you're a liberty-minded person. If you're not liberty-minded, if you are like a conservative or something, then get out of New York and go to Florida. You know, you don't belong in New York. Let the liberals have it.
Anywhere in the South, really. On Monday, the president himself admitted that travel restrictions can slow the speed of Omicron. It cannot prevent it. But here's what it does. It gives us time. It gives us time to take more actions, to move quicker, to make sure people understand you have to get your vaccine.
More actions to restrict freedom, to do absolutely nothing to actually stop this thing.
Yes.
Why would he add to make sure people understand they need to get their vaccine? I don't know. That just sounds like a weird end goal. Well, shouldn't the end goal just be, and hopefully it just can, you know, go away?
It's what you pointed out before, is they've got some sort of deal with pharmaceutical companies. So, of course, they want people to get vaccinated. And it was just the other day that the UK government gang announced that they're going to require the boosters every 3 months instead of every 6. That's an instant doubling of profits for the vaccine companies.
It is. That's a lot of money.
That's insane money.
And this is all about as believable as, quote, 15 days to flatten the curve 21 months later.
Yeah.
How does extending, which, you know, I would have tolerated. No, I wouldn't, because I was against it then. But the reality was, the whole point was to flatten the curve so that we could hire more hospital staff and do all of these things, build more hospital beds.
Now they're firing
more
the hospital
ICUs.
Workers.
Yeah. And now they're just
closing
firing
down hospitals.
Yep.
Didn't build an additional ICU bed anywhere in the United States, from what I can tell. So this guy just returned from two international trips. He goes on, I was by myself on the first one, but I was traveling with my not yet fully vaccinated child on the second. So this person isn't even against vaccines.
Okay.
He's had his or she, and their child has had their first vaccine. Mm. It's more of a hassle to get tested the day before departure than when you have a few days to fit into your schedule.
I bet it is.
Yeah, but Jesus, first world problems, man. Oh, this was so much. When I had 3 days to comply with shoving this cotton swab up my nose, it was so much better than when I only have 1 day. That's a pitiful argument for freedom. It's like, this was so much better when I had 3 days in which I could suffer instead of only one. It's a way of...
Well, they crossed his line.
It's a way of, you know, breaking people's leg and giving them a crutch. The government broke both of his legs, and they're like, okay, now he's complaining because they also took his crutch away, and now that's not as convenient. Taking away that flexibility for the vaccinated will cause fewer people to see a net benefit in getting vaccinated. Oh, God.
Oh, so he's upset that this is actually going to lessen vaccination.
Yes. Interesting. That seems so. I know the expectation of easier travel factored into my own decision to get vaccinated.
I accidentally had a water bottle in my backpack one of the last times I went on a plane, and I was standing there while they were like holding me up, and I was like, what the heck are they holding me up for? And I was like, oh my gosh, my water bottle. It's just so stupid. Like, I don't know. You know, it's,
oh, it's completely stupid. I mean, it's also a racket. It's just a way of giving those restaurants totally and convenience stores inside the airport more money.
Yep. It's the first thing I do when I get through security is I go buy a bottle of water for $4.
Because they're going to make you throw yours away.
Right.
It's obviously not acid, though. It's in a plastic bottle.
Well, I
plastic.
Think it's some sort of acid that you can, I don't know. I'm not an expert on these things.
Either.
But that's what they're worried. That's the supposed reason, is you could have some sort of dangerous chemical in there.
It's absurd. The politicians and health bureaucrats will use each new variant of COVID-19 to keep us alarmed and infringe our freedom until we become accustomed to and passively accept these infringements if we let them. Enough is enough.
And they are.
Says this guy who's already gotten his child one vaccine.
Well, good. I mean, I'm glad for some people with the vaccine that you know, lines are being crossed. And it's going to be interesting to see what percentage of the vaccinated are willing to go for a third one and a fourth one and a fifth one and a sixth one. Like, are they going to start dropping off at some point? And I don't mean from dying, because that's happening too, apparently.
Well, didn't you say the UK government has now increased it to every 3 months for a booster shot? Good Lord, man.
Bonnie, you had brought in a story here tonight. It was more something that you heard somewhere about Glenn Beck.
Yeah. I saw on Anti-State, which is a really popular libertarian Instagram, his interpretation of a long video that Glenn Beck came out with exposing a confidential agreement that came out between the U.S. government in 2015 and Moderna that just shows that they have a joint ownership of mRNA technology.
Yeah, and actually finding this, you had found one website that was a very religious kind of sounding site, and
well, it's related to Glenn Beck, so
true. And he's
a Mormon.
Mormon, yeah.
It was a kind of just badly written article in general.
Yeah, and so you'd asked if I could find another one. So just looking for it, you can't find this story on Google.
Even though I have the link to the actual agreement, the 153-page agreement.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I couldn't find that either. But you cannot find this story on Google. And so I used the quote. I was able to find it through DuckDuckGo. It was, like, easy. The first result that I looked for. I looked for something like, I don't know, mRNA vaccine. I don't actually have the exact search that I did here this time. But whatever search I used on Google did not find this. And then I used the exact same search on DuckDuckGo and found the story right away. What they wanted to make clear is this, quote, mRNA vaccine candidates developed and jointly owned by the NIAID, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and Moderna. Now, there's no other context here, so I don't know what the previous, I don't have the actual document in front of me. It's not linked here in any of the stories that I was able to find. But supposedly they're saying here that the U.S. government has an agreement with, at the very least, Moderna, that there's some sort of joint ownership of mRNA-based vaccines.
And look, I get it. The argument that, you know, well, Moderna, these other companies, they've been working on mRNA vaccines for years and years. Okay, fine. Why have they still never produced a successful vaccine until this brand new disease? Mm-hmm. Right. If they've been working on mRNA vaccines for the measles or whatever, where are the other vaccines? Right.
Right.
They don't have one. But suddenly there's this brand new COVID-19 that no one knows anything about, and they can magically whip up a successful vaccine against it. I don't buy it. And I don't need to, because the evidence seems to show that the vaccine doesn't.
It's not effective.
Yeah, it's not effective.
It's so ineffective they actually had to change the definition of vaccine. Have you seen this, right?
I've heard this. I haven't looked into it, but
I checked it, because, you know, when I heard it, I'm like, yeah, right. Come on. Really?
The city councilors here, they really believe that if they throw out all the panhandlers in the middle of the street and freeway entrances and off ramps, that they will reduce pedestrian fatalities.
Hmm.
And it's amazing. And then they're trying to take it to the state Supreme Court about this.
Hold on, Sarah. I have a quick question.
Yes.
How do they believe, that this is going to reduce pedestrian fatalities. It sounds like a way of just getting panhandlers off of the intersections where they're most effective and use an excuse of, oh, well, it's to protect them from getting run over. Are panhandlers frequently run over there in New Mexico?
Well, we're number one in pedestrian fatalities.
I remember
usually
that.
We run kill about 97 pedestrians each year.
It's not hard to believe, though, that a panhandler would have a higher propensity to be hit by someone. I mean, the longer you stand by the side of the road, the more your likelihood of somebody just, whoops, you know, clipping you or running straight into you.
Every panhandler I've ever seen was really good about, like, not being in oncoming traffic, though.
Sure. But that doesn't mean that somebody's oncoming isn't going to go ahead and be in you. According to the ACLU, a 2015 U.S. Supreme Court ruling made it clear that most laws targeting panhandlers are unconstitutional.
So, nice.
I mean, how could you even prove somebody is panhandling? Even if you see them go up to a car, stop them, and ask them something, you can't prove that they're asking for money.
Well, it's just pretty easy. You just drive up to them, and then they ask you for money. I mean, that's
but if you're a cop, they're not going
to
do that.
But panhandling isn't illegal. It's not illegal to stand around and ask people for money.
And they shouldn't make it illegal.
But that's the thing. It was made illegal in some places, and those were challenged by the ACLU and was overturned. Those laws were overturned. So just because it was overturned at the Supreme Court doesn't mean that the City Council of Albuquerque isn't going to try it themselves, and then somebody else then has to appeal it and then appeal it again up to the, you know, the Supreme Court. So this is, you know, that's why these court systems... The system we have sucks, because whenever a court makes a ruling, you would think that it would be like the law or something like that, or that, you know, the government gangs around the country would give a damn about it.
But you should be able to just go to the city council and be like, hey, look, here's this Supreme Court ruling. You can't do this. And they go, well, we can't do that then.
No, they won't, though. They'll be like, well, we're going to do it differently. We'll change the wording and we'll make ours better. And then you've got to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars or whatever to try to appeal these things, to go all the way up and spend however many damn years it takes to go all the way up to the Supreme Court, only for them to, you know, once again, rule in the favor of panhandling. And then that just strikes down Albuquerque.
The other night you were talking about Judaism, and it is pretty complicated. I know that some of the Jewish divisions are against the vaccine mandate. Some are against the vaccine. Some are against most vaccines, and some are pro-vaccine.
Yeah, it was a lady that called into the show that kind of really brought this up. And, of course, you know, we're not experts here. So she was making claims, and I thought, well, wait a minute. I've heard that some of the Hasidic Jews in New York City are completely against a lot of this vaccine mandate stuff. At least they were out in the streets protesting over mask mandates and lockdowns and things like that. And I thought, wow, those guys are pretty awesome.
Yeah, didn't they have this massive funeral during the middle of a lockdown?
Yeah, they did. It was
amazing. I thought it was a wedding. Or was that more than one?
All of those things. Yeah, they do all of those things. They just don't
care. It was hardcore.
Yeah, the Jews are very, very interesting. I mean, there's a tremendous community, kind of like Christianity, where there are 1,000 different types and 1,000 types within each one. So I grew up ultra-Orthodox, what you'd call like Litvish, so not necessarily not Hasidish, not Sephardic. So Litvish, kind of one of the normal common divisions.
None of us have any idea what any of those things mean.
Hold on. Can you spell that word, lit what?
Litvish? I don't know. L-I-T-V-I-S-H. It essentially means like, European, I guess, not Hasidic.
Was that the one she was talking about, the lady that called
possibly,
in?
Possibly. I mean, there are so many types. She mentioned Lubavitch, which is, I think, a type of Hasidic.
Okay.
And Lubavitch are very interesting, sometimes very intense. Sometimes they don't keep all the stuff, but sometimes they're extremely intense Orthodox. I'm agnostic atheist now.
Okay.
I was raised ultra-Orthodox Jew. By the time I was around 13 and a half, 14, I was totally leaving and didn't really believe anymore. And at that time, I asked my mom to let me leave, and eventually she gave in to let me move to Queens to my dad. Then I was there for 10 years. I was not religious. Then as I started to realize what New York was, and as Cuomo and de Blasio radicalized me into an NCAP, I moved to New Hampshire in 2017.
What is wrong with these libertarians that are still in New York City? Are they just that delusional that they think they can change things?
I don't know. I've been asking them for a long time, and I still have a lot of friends in the Libertarian Party of Queens and New York and conservatives, and they are in denial, and they still think they can save New York, and they call me a sissy for running away from
sissy
in New York. And well, they call me the P word, but I don't want to get to the toilet.
Well, they think they can save the whole country, right? We just have to get one Libertarian president, and that will change everything. Even though
the Republicans and Libertarians, I've been yelling at them for the Republicans because the GOP, number one, they are Democrats. They're almost the exact same 100% GOP in New York. But and they're never going to win. But even if they do win, then they're not any different anyway.
Right.
Also, libertarians, like my friend Larry Sharp from Queens, he's run for governor. He's going to run again. He raised $500,000 last time, got 1 or 2%. I love him. He's my friend. He's a great libertarian, but he's never going to save New York or make it gold, you know, make it libertarian. If he moved to New Hampshire, he could do phenomenal.
Yeah, he could win some state reps.
And then, you know, be governor here.
Now, the other one that they changed was the definition of anti-vaxxer. And also, when I checked dictionary.com, they had not changed the definition there. So their dictionary.com's was still accurate. But Merriam-Webster's definition of anti-vaxxer is now, quote, a person who opposes the use of vaccines or regulations mandating vaccination.
New media versus old media.
Yeah.
The old media is clearly just a state propaganda piece at this point.
Mm. Yep.
But dictionary.com continues to still have actual useful definitions for words that we actually use.
Yeah. Kudos to dictionary.com for that. Of course, you know, ridiculous to say that people who are against mandates are anti-vax.
No, I'm just against mandates.
Some people who have been vaccinated are against the mandates.
Anti-vax now.
Yeah, exactly. It's so stupid.
That's what they say about Robert Kennedy Jr. for creating or writing a book about the real Anthony Fauci. They call him an anti-vaxxer, even though he's not against vaccines, and I'm pretty sure he got the shot.
Yeah, I think this is a bit insidious now that I think about it, because there are a lot of people who are already vaccinated, but they're just against the mandates, right? But this allows them to blame the anti-vaxxers for everything, and it's not just the unvaccinated people at this point, because anti-vaxxer is considered a square word that no one wants to be. It just prevents people from speaking out against the mandates despite being vaccinated, because now they're defined as being an anti-vaxxer.
So let's get into old Craig Wright here. The story coming out of Coindesk.com. Out of Miami, federal jury found Dr. Craig Wright, the Australian who claims to have invented Bitcoin, did not have a business partnership with deceased Florida computer forensics expert Dave Kleiman. But he does owe $100 million in compensatory damages for conversion to a company Kleiman founded in Florida, W&K Info Defense Research.
Sounds like a victory.
Does Wright have that kind of money after all the money he spent on attorneys and lawyers?
I don't know.
He apparently has $70 billion in original Satoshi Bitcoin.
Yet he has never moved a single Satoshi of that Bitcoin.
No, but it would be the most glorious thing ever if he did turn out to be Satoshi and he did pay this $100 million fine
out
in that Bitcoin. That would, man, talk about making half the Bitcoin world eat their feet.
Yeah,
that would do it.
I would apologize.
Like, he would have done it by now, right? Like, if he could actually prove he were Satoshi Nakamoto, yeah, he would have done it by now.
He's not Satoshi, for sure.
He says, I feel remarkably happy and vindicated. He said in the courtroom hallway, I'm not a fraud and I never have been. He added that he had offered Kleiman's estate, represented by Dave's brother Ira Kleiman, quote, $12 million many years ago, which if he had taken that then in Bitcoin when Bitcoin was $200 and he kept it, you can do the math, he said. Wright testified he was friends with Kleiman.
Who would have turned down $12 million in Bitcoin? I don't believe that in the first place.
Satoshi was so into privacy. Why would he just be like, this man? I'm Satoshi, everyone.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.